shortly. And I will see you back in a few minutes. But this has been fun. Thank you for the use of the repeat, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club's repeater. And thank you guys for being around. And again, hopefully we'll see some of you at the... two things, actually. One is not just the Fairlawn meeting tomorrow night, which is just basically a gathering and just do what you want to do in the ham shack or the lab or the conference room, but also Saturday is Portable Day. And Barra Portable Day is very exciting. It will be at, it's actually joint with Fairlawn. It'll be at Memorial Park in Fairlawn. It'll be in the pavilion, which is near the circle. It's that park with the pool, if you have ever been there. It's where the fireworks are in the summer. So do come. Everybody's going to gather around 10 o'clock in the morning. Bring your own radios. Bring your own antennas. If you don't have any radios or antennas, just come and use other people's. People are very generous and want to do that. So we will have some generator power available, but you're responsible as best you can to bring your own power sourcing as best you can. But always bring something cool and bring it down to share and show other people how stuff can work. It's all good. Sort of like field day for a few hours without all the suppressor and stress. So, I'm glad I thought of that. Sorry I didn't remember earlier. Anyway, this is K2BAR, W2TTT user net control, and thank you very much. We'll return the repeater to normal amateur radio use. Bye-bye.
And Gordon, W2JK.
Yes, Mr. Dodd.
You have a list of who was in the net?
No, I do not.
Oh, one?
Yes, sir. That'd be lovely here. If you are a member of the ComTech group, you can post it directly. But if not, you can send it to me and I'll post it.
W2TTT at where?
AWRL.net will work.
And I'll send it to you. I got to wind up the computer for something else. I know, anyhow. Okay, 73, and maybe I'll see you over there Saturday. Who knows? W2JK will be clear.
Yeah, I'm actually going to bring a fan dipole for 40 and 20 and a, my ICOM, I'm bringing two radios. I'm bringing my ICOM 746 Pro, and I'm going to bring my little 5-watt SDR, my Flex 1500 with a tablet, so that'll be fun too. Maybe I'll bring it on the laptop, I haven't decided yet, probably the tablet. Anyway, 73W2TTT, gotta go.
N2OEL, disconnected.
W2SE.
Yes, Mr. Bruce.
Hi. I'm just curious, Gordon. This instrumentation thing with the Raspberry Pi and the GPS, what is this thing used for? How is it going to be used? Or if you'd rather, we can put this off till a future day at kit night or maybe on Saturday.
It's basically going to take... some environmental readings and needs to be, you know, geolocated with some level of precision.
Okay, and why were you concerned about altitude?
Because the Z-axis is important.
Could you explain?
Every terrain goes up and down.
Okay, what is this thing measuring? Let me go back to the basics. I'm wondering, the reason I asked Gordon, I'm wondering if there isn't an alternate way to skin this cat.
You can't use topography alone. I'll leave it at that. It's really not good enough. I am being a little obscure for a reason, and it's because I'm really not at liberty to say.
Okay, because the topography doesn't change. As long as you got lat longe, you could obtain the altitude from all sorts of other sources. And frankly, I don't see a really good way of obtaining the altitude precision you're looking for, because barometric and GPS are both terrible, extremely poor altitude sources.
Right, but keep in mind, if I know what the zero altitude is on the ground, whatever zero is, I can, you know, with a fair degree of precision, use the barometric altimeter.
I will strongly disagree with that statement, Gordon. I've been there, and I've seen all the errors that creep into barometric, even calibrated sensitive barometric altimeters in aircraft. The accuracy just isn't there, period.
Yeah, there is another sensor we're looking at, the problem is it doesn't have the range.
And the other thing is, even if you have the local barometric pressure, which you would get from, you know, a calibrated aviation source, it's not going to be the barometric pressure for the location where you're at. So if I were to use, say, the barometer setting from Teterboro, and I'm at my house, it's a very different setting at my house, potentially.
Oh, absolutely. So another thought would be to just calibrate it on the ground, and whatever reading you get is fine, and you know that for every, you know, number of feet of change in elevation, you're going to have a set amount of change in barometric pressure from whatever you had sitting on the ground.
I understand. I mean, you could use a sensitive altimeter also, and that has a Colesman window in it, and it says you dial in 2992 or whatever the current barometric setting is. But that, again, that barometric setting is taken at a particular point in space with calibrated equipment for a known altitude, and then it's extrapolated and modified in aviation relative to MSL, not for ground level where it's being measured at. And there's all sorts of changes that go into that. Plus, with weather systems, in the course of, say, 50 miles, you could wind up with a very significant change in pressure, and especially when weather systems are moving through it, then all your accuracy is completely shot. It could be telling you that you're 500 feet above the roof of the building.
Yeah, no, I understand. The good news is I have the luxury of being able to recalibrate it if I need to every 15 to 60 minutes, depending on what I feel like doing, and without having too much difficulty in doing that. What I wanted to use also was sonar, millimeter wave, radar, a couple of techniques for that. But the problem is the packages are just too heavy. I mean, that's the bottom line. And we've been told weight is an issue, and don't mess with it. So it is what it is. In any case, I mean, just clarify this for me. If I just take a random barometric pressure, whatever it is, and I jump up 50 feet, the barometric pressure is going to change by a fixed amount, yes?
Fixed amount, yes. Linear amount, absolutely not.
Ah, okay. Therein lies the problem. And the linearity is, or the non-linearity is introduced by what factors?
The atmosphere that we live in?
How quaint. Your turn to give me glib answers. Okay. So, you know, I'm worried about things as simple as, you know, the thing is calibrated, you know, in a parking lot and flies over a grassy field. just or drives over a grassy field, as the case may be, up a grassy hillside. I mean, you can imagine that those factors immediately are going to introduce, you know, non-linearity to it. And that was what I was afraid of.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be obscure on purpose, Gordon. Let me see if I can explain this. As you go up, the atmosphere gets thinner. The general swag, and I do mean swag, is 1 inch per 1,000 feet of altitude. However, once you start getting up in the multiple thousands of foot of altitude and you go even higher, this could be due to ground elevation, this could be due to building, this could be due to a number of things. Then it starts dropping off and dropping off, and it, you know, eventually gets to zero at, I don't know, 80,000, 90,000 feet above the Earth. But between here and there, it's a very non-linear curve in terms of pressure versus altitude.
Okay. I only care about the world below 500 feet or 500-foot increments. It will never operate outside of a 500-foot window.
There's another kind of a hack solution, and I'm still not quite sure exactly how, but I'll throw this out. If you had a sensitive altimeter with an adjustment for barometric pressure, you could set the altitude of that barometer, whatever it is, a barometric indicator, to zero or 1,000 feet or whatever at ground level. Then you could take this thing up inside the building and then see what it shows you, and it says, oh, it's now showing you 300 feet above the ground. Well, that's a starting point, but the problem is buildings are pressurized, and usually they're positive pressurized, which also throws things off inside the building versus outside the building. So if you could walk through glass and stand outside the building, you get a different altitude rating than inside the building.
Of course. Yeah, no, this is going to be in free space.
Okay. You could, you know, get a sensitive altimeter of some sort, you know, set it to some known value at ground level, and then watch the delta as you go up in height.
Yeah, so if 1 inch of barometric pressure is 1,000 feet, for 0 to 1,000, I can assume that a half inch is roughly good for 500 feet.
It's a swag, but I have to look at the charts, but I would say it's probably more like 500 plus something feet.
At a half inch. Okay, so it's not quite linear. All right. All right. Well, we'll take that under advisement, sir. But the good news is we only have to chew the whale 500 feet at a time. Anyway, let me get going here. I'm in the parking, in the driveway, and I want to go inside and get some sleep. 5:30 comes early in my world.
Well, if you want to chat at some length in a little more detail offline or something, let me know, and we could do something Saturday or kid night or some other venue. But have a good evening. Get some rest, Gordon. W2TTT, W2SE.
Okay, Bruce, I really appreciate your noodling through some of this. That's very thoughtful of you. And, yeah, if not tomorrow night, certainly Saturday I'll be at Portable Day. I'll be there nice and early. So we can sit down and chew this out a little bit and figure out what we're going to do. I am not bringing the trailer. That decision has already been made. 7-3 and have a good one. W2SE, W2TTT.
Nice, Ray Gordon. Have a good evening. W2SC clear.